Hello, I'm Hashi Mohammed, contributing editor at Tortoise Media. Welcome to this, the fifth in our series of podcasts on economic clusters, hosted by the CBI in partnership with Virgin Media O2 Business. Over the course of this series, we've talked about the importance of skills, finance, innovation, and collaboration. Today, we are in Birmingham, discussing the key role of strong leadership in developing economic clusters. I'm joined by Simon Collison, Deputy Pro Vice Chancellor for Regional Engagement at the University of Birmingham, and Kirsty Lloyd-Jukes, Head of Investor Relations at Waymo, the part of Alphabet working on self-driving cars. Simon, Kirsty, welcome. Simon, let me start with you. After we've just had that thinking discussion, what were sort of your reflections on the conversations we've just had? What sort of stood out for you?
Well, thanks very much for asking me. I really enjoyed the conversation. It's fantastic to get private and public sector together, focusing on single places. And I think the combination of people there was superb in terms of both deep insights into specific sectors and particular kinds of clusters, but also a really good level of understanding about the challenges that places in the UK outside London and the South East have to tackle. I think the next stage is importantly about looking at different kinds of clusters and different kinds of impacts in places. What we absolutely need is a bit more precise targeting by policymakers into the kinds of clusters that will grow well in their places, but also the kinds of interventions needed to get business on board to invest and co-invest in places with the public sector.
And what about for you, Kirsty? What were the sort of standout conversations or things that you've heard as part of the thinking we had?
So building on what Simon said there, I would certainly agree having the range of stakeholders in one place was extremely helpful to broaden the debate. And what was really positive, I felt, was to see the number of constructive ideas which the group had, success stories they could share for how we could think about driving regional growth. I know we'll come on to some of those later, but I was very enthused to see the number of opportunities that arose and the kind of quality and strength of the debate and the discussion. We didn't always agree, but I thought it was very constructive.
There is a consensus that building a coherent narrative or story of a particular location, today we're in Birmingham, but it could be anywhere, is a vital ingredient to powering growth across the regions and nations. Why do you think that is? And how can a cluster approach drive this coherently and successfully in a place? Simon?
Well, it's tremendously important. And I think it comes under the general area of brand and reputation and identity. It kind of is a bellwether of what people externally, and that means also internationally, understand a place to be and understand what its attractions are. But I think narratives and identities are both inputs and outputs of clusters. You need to come up with some sort of storyline that captures the key differentiators and the key attractors of a place, and you need to use that to attract certain kinds of investment. External knowledge about the attractiveness of a place can be improved if you've got a single brand spoken about by lots of people. If it's fragmented, if it's diluted, if there's no identity, if there's mixed messages, it really confuses investors. I think what's interesting is once momentum grows around a cluster, that actually can crystallize a narrative or even create an identity or reaffirm an identity. You know, in the Birmingham City region, 30% of GVA is now generated by business, professional, financial services. And actually, that wasn't really part of the long-run identity of the place. HSBC, Goldman Sachs, PwC, they've all invested here, and you've got great multinationals coming here. So in a sense, our identity has shifted, and in a positive sense, to be a place for that kind of business activity to invest in. And we now use it as part of our identity.
And what about your thoughts on that, Kirsty?
Well, I think it's exactly the same advice as I'd give to a business if they were looking to grow and scale, which is that you need to be really clear on what your differentiators are, what makes you different from the other businesses out there, what's your stealth story, and that comes down to what are your unique advantages that you have, and trying to be really clear and crisp about that. And the clearer we can be on what those differentiators, what those advantages are, the easier it will be for investors to understand what the benefits are of putting money into that region, and also for businesses, if they're looking to expand, for them to also understand what the benefits are there. So I think it's about having a really clear and simple story that you can tell to others, building that brand and that excitement about it, and then also linking that to a big vision. because if you look at what you've seen in lots of examples of successful clusters, then having ambition is so critical. So it's not just a brand, it's got to be an ambitious brand, an ambitious vision. And that's where leadership can play a key role. In my sector, so in technology, obviously Silicon Valley is perhaps the best example of that. So it has a fantastic brand for a deep technology, and that's really helped to grow a concentration of talent and investment in that geography.
When we think about some examples of what that looks like, if we were, for example, to think about developing clear identity and narrative, Kirsty, you just gave that example of Silicon Valley. We can look at Cambridge as our sort of tech hub in many respects, or financial services in London. What role does business play in that development of that identity, and what are the lessons that other businesses could learn from that? Kirsty.
So I think there has to be an interplay of business and also local government, local leadership, to help build that sustainable strategic partnership. Ultimately, one side can't do it alone. And I think what businesses, the role businesses can have is to demonstrate the success stories that they've had, to show what's working for them, to articulate what they've seen as their differentiators, why they've chosen to be in a certain region or what they see the opportunities are, which may not be visible to others. And then that will start to build a momentum around that area. And Simon talked about momentum earlier. That's extremely important. So I think business can really help to unlock some of those elements of a certain geography that may not be visible to others.
And Simon, for you, the same question.
Sometimes business creates the identity. I mean, Kirsty's example of Silicon Valley is kind of the classic, very large scale, business driven, no longer emergent, but historical cluster of similar industries in the high tech growth era. I think interestingly, very differently, Amazon chose Arlington, Virginia as its second HQ, and that's a multi-billion investment. And one business in that sense at scale creates a cluster. I mean, it kind of doesn't matter what was there before. When you put an Amazon headquarters there, it becomes part of the Amazon sort of ecosystem. They went there because government was there. So in some senses, government leveraged its own location in Washington to bring them in. So there's variance here, and there's various roles for business. I think at the heart of it, business needs to be a really strong critical friend, though. There's a lot of policy agencies that don't understand enough about what business does, how you change business behavior, how you attract investors. I think there's an acid test there that business can help with, which is, do we think the place is attractive for certain kinds of investment? And do we know businesses that might invest in a cluster in this kind of place? And that advice is needed by policymakers. And then it's about partnership. It's about working together to bring in the right investments that help both business productivity and competitiveness, but also help regional growth.
When we think about a place where you want to invest in, Kirsty, whether it's Alphabet or another company, what do you think, as an investor, you're looking for in a place or a location for an investment partnership or collaboration to be successful? And what are some places doing better than others that means that some investment is driven and is attractive to these investors?
I think what you'll see is that there isn't a huge amount of awareness of some of the regional investment opportunities in the UK. If you imagine you're talking to global investors here who have a number of different places to place their funds, and so you need to first encourage them to invest in the UK and then to invest regionally. So there's an awareness problem that can be helped by having other investors who are active in the space, who can co-invest with you or can overall raise the profile. And clearly some success stories will help to attract further investment. We definitely see that happening. I think the other thing that's critical for investors is understanding size of the opportunity. So that's where coming back to this big vision and the sort of story of the place, which is extremely important to help investors understand why if they invest in this, it really will unlock a much bigger growth opportunity down the line. I have to also mention regulation and government. So regulatory simplicity doesn't mean no regulation, but it means clear regulation, and ideally avoiding duplicate regulations is really important. And linked to that, understanding the mindset of government and whether that's likely to change and whether there's likely to be political challenges which may come in the way. So regions which are able to really convey that brand, you know, we often talk about Manchester in the UK, you mentioned Cambridge, Oxford also, where my business is based, has built a very strong brand. That really helps, and having that strong partnership between business and government to then ensure that you feel that there is a supportive regulatory environment. Not no regulation, but a regulatory environment that considers business, business innovation, business investment.
Simon, looking at the success of particular regions and what makes them stand out?
It varies hugely. Some companies are looking for cheap labour. They just want low-cost labour. Some want infrastructure. Some want particular kinds of science and technology expertise. And clearly Oxford and Cambridge stand out globally as well as nationally on that front. So part of the trick is policymakers knowing what the business wants, and secondly, businesses knowing where the places are that they can get that distinctive, we call them endowment factors, that add value to that location. Kirsty makes a really good point about universities, and coming from one, I've got to give them a plug. We are attractors. We attract investment. We also actually embed investment. What a place doesn't want is too much footloose investment. It certainly doesn't want too much low-skilled investment. But it wants embedded investment, which is that firms that set up there and create supply chains and spillover effects and multiplier effects that help other firms in that region. And that embeddedness is encouraged by universities, partly because they're a source of talent. And talent is short everywhere. 28% of University of Birmingham students come from this region. 48% stay and they work in this region. So we're a net contributor to the talent pool in the region. And that's what attracted some of the financial services and business services companies to the region. But in a sense, policymakers need to get more sophisticated at understanding that interplay and focusing more precisely on attracting particular kinds of investment in firms and embedding them in the region as part of a long-term growth strategy.
And thinking about the challenges now, can we reflect a little bit on how clusters may be able to help simplify and improve the way in which businesses can contribute and lead and pool resources, pool knowledge, pool expertise? Just tell me a little bit more about your thoughts on that.
I think one of the main challenges here, and this is compared to other countries in particular, is there's a significant level of dysfunctionality in terms of local policy environments, local governance structures. And that compounds the fact that in this country, we have a lot of short-term policy agendas. We have got a lack of consistency over a long period of time for something like levelling up and supporting places. So we have a mishmash of combined authorities, some of them mayoral, some others not mayoral. We have LEPs, we have local authorities, city councils. Some of them talk to each other, some of them don't. So any business, particularly an international business, coming into a region and looking for what's the single point of truth? What does this place have to offer and what can it offer me? That's a real difficult thing to do. And British companies complain of the same thing. So you compare it to Singapore or places around the world that do this really, really well. They have a single point of entry and very clear policies for supporting different investments. So I think that's the first thing. And I think the way that businesses can help is partly with explaining how that dysfunctionality is really harming our ability to invest in regions as UK firms. But I think secondly, again, they come back to this point about lack of capacity and capability in regional agencies. They don't understand enough about business and they don't have enough data and intelligence about the shifting behaviours of business investment. So they're kind of not in a good position to attract and precisely target certain types of businesses and clarify the proposition for them. Businesses themselves can help with that. The CBI can help with that. Other agencies can support the building up of capacity and capability within regions to know what it wants and how to target and land the right kinds of investment.
Kirsty, the challenges that businesses face in engaging with regions and places and the role of clusters in hopefully channeling some of that solutions towards those challenges.
Firstly, fully echo Simon's point, particularly around importance of regulation there and sort of simple point of entry. I think the two reflections that emerged for me also from the session today on this topic was, I think firstly, businesses need to understand what's actually in it for them in terms of making an investment in a region. So if you think about it, the kind of case is clear. You can improve talent. You might be able to improve infrastructure in your region. All those things should enable your business to be more successful. But I'm not sure that we're necessarily making that case or making it as easy as it could be for businesses to understand why, if I kind of commit, invest, contribute, then actually I can see the long-term benefits for myself. And that's a key area where I feel that government can help and also clusters can help in terms of really articulating that helping businesses understand why investing and developing a region, whether it's these skills programs or whatever it is, can actually really help. I think the second one is a really important mindset which we need to embrace, which is around collaboration, not competition. So it's very easy to see that, or to feel that if this business is successful, then my business will be less successful, to feel it's a zero-sum game. But actually the theory of clusters, and I think economic data proves this, is that actually it's not a zero-sum game. Collaboration and density of businesses in one area, whether that's, you know, the sort of financial sector here in Birmingham, which Simon was talking about, or perhaps some of the deep tech businesses in Oxford, where I'm from, is that actually that does become a hub for talent. And it becomes a hub for investment, and that can actually help, to use the phrase, rise all boats at the same time. So I think we need to start to encourage businesses to embrace that collaboration, not competition mindset. And that's something which clusters can definitely help to foster and support.
That's a really important point, Simon. I don't know whether you wanted to come in on that, about the collaboration instead of competition, and how it isn't a zero sums game. I'm sure that's something that you can associate yourself with as well.
No, great points from Kirsty, and particularly about the need to work in partnership, and also the need to talk a little bit more in business language about what's in it for businesses. What do they get out of an investment in a particular place? We're seeing a real sea change in some of the main sort of anchor institutions, but also the key flagship businesses in our region. They're sort of turning from PR and marketing around the civic contribution to, you know, genuine steps to embed themselves and to invest in areas that would help the long-term growth and the inclusive growth of a city like Birmingham. And inclusivity is a key issue here. And I'm not going to name names, but in a sense, we have some great companies that are doing that in a genuine way, and they're doing it in partnership with the universities and with the public sector. I think part of that collaboration and that partnership is partly to do with the need for consensus and the need for a single kind of narrative for a region, not multiple narratives, not businesses talking about their own sector and a lot of agencies talking about their own needs, but everyone coming together and saying, we have a nascent potential to grow a superb future economic cluster in this particular area. And if we come together, it will mean more jobs, it'll mean inward investment, it will mean also multiplier effects that'll help the low-skilled, low-income communities in the region. So leadership is critical. Joint leadership is absolutely key. Our Mayor Andy Street, the Combined Authority, have managed to overcome a lot of the legacy and the factionalisation in this particular region. But I think we're lucky in that sense because we've got a mayor who understands business as a businessman. And in a sense, I think that's helped bring together businesses and the public sector. One warning on the horizon, though, local enterprise partnerships, LEPs, used to be the governance structure that brought businesses together with these agencies, and they're on the way out. We don't have a standard format for connecting businesses in regions with those agencies, and we need to come up with new ones. Business councils, a business consortia or subgroups of CBI are incredibly important at this time to lend leadership to this problem.
Thinking about leadership then, building on that, Kirsty, we are going through a relatively tumultuous time politically in this country. We're about to change Prime Minister for the fourth time now in a very short space of time. And there is all the challenges that come with local government and local leadership as well. How do you see the role of leadership, and why does leadership matter in terms of understanding this? And what would you want to see in terms of regional and local political leaders to be able to do to build that trust between businesses and with businesses and engage? And what's the one thing that you think is required immediately, if you could pick something?
So I think as much as we can, we need to zoom out from this and see that, yep, it's a short-term time of turbulence, but there's huge opportunities out there. We are in a time of transition. If you look at something like climate change, it's obviously a problem, but it's also an opportunity in terms of the transition to net zero. So we need to try and not get sucked into the political debate and instead try and think bigger picture and think long term, as we were saying right at the beginning of this podcast. So we've got to focus on long-term vision, long-term brand, and trying to focus on a small number of key areas where we think Britain and within that specific regions can be successful and double down on those areas. Everyone I've kind of spoken to about this topic, the big ask for government would be to work with the regions to help them develop that brand, develop that proposition, understand what the big vision, the opportunity is for them in the future, start to rewrite that narrative so we don't feel like places are left behind or sort of lost the glory days, but actually they see the opportunities ahead. And I think if government can work with local areas and business to do that, and then support it with regulation and funding and all the other things we've talked about, that would be a really, really powerful outcome, I believe.
And Simon, your thoughts finally on that, political leadership?
I completely agree. Sorry, excellent words from Kirsty. I think she's absolutely right. And in a sense, it's about being much more ambitious, much more big picture, far less parochial. I mean, it's starting to look like a circus and it's starting to look like a distraction from actually the business of growing our economies. The only thing I'd add, though, is I think we also need to think seriously about how centralised we are. We're the most centralised economy in the OECD in terms of fiscal raising powers and in terms of spending powers and in terms of decision-making power. And we need to devolve to very competent and capable people in their own regions, some of the resources, but certainly some of the powers to do the right things in the right places. Westminster simply cannot and does not know what different regions need and can't deliver it from a central point in London. We need to devolve on a par with other parts of the OECD to enable growth and support growth in different places. So I'd add that. It has got to be ambitious and it's got to be a step change, far more radical than we're currently discussing.
My thanks to our guests today. I'm Hashim Mohammed, and for our next Thinking, we'll be in the heart of the Oxford and Cambridge Arc in Milton Keynes, where we'll be discussing how can the UK clusters become internationally competitive, attract increased global investment, and maximise their export potential. My thanks again to Kirsty Lloyd-Jukes and to Simon Collinson. Thank you very much, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For our next Thinking, we'll be in the Oxford and Cambridge Arc to discuss how clusters can help the UK become more internationally competitive. For more information on the CBI's clusters work, including Thinking write-ups, case studies, and the latest live learnings from their live learning demonstrator in Humber, please visit their digital platform at www.cbi.org.uk/CBI-clusters-playbook.